You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And then cried, "Crucify!" They were glad when he suffered. They were happy when he died. They gambled for his garments while he hung upon the tree. He didn't mean much to this world, but he means the world to me. My life was down to nothing. Jesus turned my world around. My hopes and dreams were scattered and lying scattered on the ground. Oh yes, I really love him, and yet it's plain to see he doesn't mean much to this world, but he means the world to me. Those angry Roman soldiers heard him say, "I thirst." Just a simple drink for Jesus, but they made a mockery of him first. Someone said, "The times are changing," yet anyone can see that he still don't mean much to this world. Oh, but he means the world to me. My life was down to nothing. Jesus turned my world around. My hopes and dreams were shattered and lying scattered on the ground. Oh yes, I really love him, but yet it's plain to see he doesn't mean much to this world, but he means the world. I really love him, and yet it's plain to see he doesn't mean much to this world, but he means the world to me."
I love songs you can understand and got a message. That was a good one. Thank you. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the Gospel of John. And if you don't have them and would like to turn to the Gospel of John, if you lift your hand, we'll have some people get you a Bible. Okay? Gospel of John chapter 3. We're going to start out with a verse that probably, if you know any verse, you know this one. But we're going to move on to a couple of verses past. I want to speak to you tonight about God's love and condemnation. And they do go together, by the way. We live in kind of a unique time in the fact that in my lifetime I've seen people that probably forgotten all about the fear of God. All of a sudden, God's become an old man that let the grandkids get around and do anything. All of a sudden, God is a God that's stumbling around and really doesn't care and overlooks anything. And just as long as you are happy, then he's satisfied. And so he will fill you with candy and cookies and cake, and things will just be hunky-dory. And all of us are going someplace with the old man upstairs attitude. John 3:16, which is it is what Vance Havner called the little gospel, the little Bible, as it were. It said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then He said, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Verse 18 is the verse I want to take as a text. He said, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." I want to ask four brief questions. First one is, what is condemnation? What does that mean in the first place? If you look it up in a dictionary, it says doom. It says utter rejection. In the Bible, condemnation is God's judgment on sin. Let me make it real simple. It's hell. That's exactly what it is. And He said, "He that believe not is condemned already." Now let me tell you, God is love. And the Bible tells us that, if you'd look, and you may want to mark this verse, but over in 1 John, when I was in Big Spring Federal Prison, they called, the guys taught me a new name for this. I always said John and then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, but they called it John and then Little John. Little John 1, Little John 2, Little John 3, because they were short. Same writer, but in 1st John, in chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Now, there's no doubt about that. The fact that you and I are here tonight, God is love. The fact that we are sucking air, God is love. There's not a person in this house tonight that at some time in your life could have had it snuffed out. And the amazing thing about it, it just surprised nobody. Everybody in here has been through a situation that just another foot or two, another inch or two, another minute or two, and it all been over. We've been that close. Everybody in here has been to the funeral of somebody younger than you. Hey. God is love, and there's no doubt about it. He has done so much for us. We act like when we get in trouble or we have things that happen bad, we act like that God's punishing us. Let me tell you something. If you're God's child, He probably is going to punish you. Because good daddies, that's what they do. They discipline. That's the word we forget except in athletics anymore. But God will discipline, but He doesn't discipline the neighbor's kids. My daddy was big on discipline, but he never laid a hand on the neighbor kids. Frustrated me. I don't know why they were meaner than me. They're the ones getting me in trouble, and he ought to went over and got them. But he didn't do that. Just on me. So God is love. But let me tell you something else. Did you know that God hates? Uh-oh. Turning your Bible now to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. And I want you to look at verse 16, 17, and 18. Proverbs 6, he said, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him." Now, and every one of these listed are a person. They're not just some picture on the wall or some event. A proud look. The only place you find a proud look is on a proud person. The next one is a lying tongue. Guess where you find that? And hands that shed innocent blood. That's somebody killing people. A heart that deviseth wickedness. That's in somebody. A heart that would devise wickedness. Feet that be swift to running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. And notice, three out of the seven have to do with the mouth. gets us in a lot of trouble. God hates. God hates. God, see, but if God is a balanced God, then he's going to hate the good. I mean, hate the evil and love the good. That's what the Bible tells us to do. God is also honest. Over and over, Jesus said, I tell you, in my Father's house or in a mansion, if it were not so, I would have told you. God is honest. He's not playing games, you and I. Most of us spent half our life lying about stuff. But God's honest. Let me tell you something else about God. Deuteronomy 4, verse 24 said that God is a consuming fire. That doesn't sound like a sissy to me. That doesn't sound like some old grandpa to me. Also said he's jealous God. Don't mess with his kids. No, I've known a lot of people that were just as calm, cool, and collected as they could be until you messed their kids. And then you was in trouble. See, we've already put his son to shame. That'll never happen again. One guy. I just noticed this. I get so frustrated with myself because I have made it a habit. I hope to be addicted to it. Of reading my Bible through every year. And yet here's a word. I don't know how many times I've read this that just escaped me. I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Over to the right from John. Go to Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 6, he's talking about how we ought to live. And he said that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all. I'd never grasped the word avenger. That means he's getting revenge, people. He's an avenger. He's an avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. He's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he said, I'm warning you about God. He's an avenger. Let me tell you, he means what he says. He says what he means. He doesn't have to take it back. And the Bible said he changed not. And I want to tell you again, I made this statement before, but if it was wrong in 1950, it's wrong in 2012. If it was wrong in 1980, it was wrong in 2012. I don't care how the government changed things. I don't care what new name they give them. It doesn't make any difference about that. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Sin is still sin. And God's going to judge it whether the Supreme Court likes it or not. Goodness, why don't we wake up and smell the coffee? We're running our kids, we're running our people, because God's going to think it's all right. That's the condemnation we're talking about. But let me move. Not only what is the condemnation, who's condemned? Notice this. We're condemned for one reason. We didn't trust Jesus Christ. He said, God sent not his world into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him must be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. See, that can be a church member. That can be a teetotaler. This can be somebody that's mastered the 12 steps. This can be somebody that's a 32nd degree Mason. They had a Shriners convention in a little town where I was one time. This was back in when they had at the barber shop. They still had people shining shoes, and one of the guys asked, he's getting his boots shined. He asked the guy shining his boots. He said, "What is a Shriner anyway?" The guy shining his boots said, "I don't know, sir, unless it'd be a drunk Mason." I don't want to offend anybody. I just want to say. See, it doesn't make it a rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief. Doesn't make any difference. He's condemned already because he hath not believed. Has nothing to do with whether we lied or told the truth. Has nothing to do with that. See, because it's only there that we get changed. It's in Jesus Christ. Him alone. By the way, let me say this, because you hear the term unconditional love. If you're talking about that God extends His love to everybody, I will agree with you. But if you're talking about that God just loves everybody, period, I'm going to disagree with you. Let me tell you. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Great book. This is the Holy Spirit chapter in the Bible. The Holy Spirit's mentioned more in the Romans chapter 8, and it's mentioned the entire book of 1 Corinthians. But in Romans chapter 8, the last two verses, he's talked about all these things that God's got for His children, for His people, for you and me that know Jesus Christ. And here's what he said. He said, verse 38, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, and there's no period there, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the only unconditional love. It's in Christ Jesus. God's love is conditioned on how we deal with His Son. Doesn't make any difference if you've got a doctor's degree in theology. Doesn't make any difference if you've never been in a church. Doesn't make any difference if you knew one hymn tonight or you never heard of one. Doesn't make any difference if you were raised a heathen or a Baptist or a Pentecostal or a Methodist. Doesn't make any difference. It's in Jesus Christ. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Next question, when is one condemned? Notice he said condemned already. That's right now. See, this is not something that we can put off till tomorrow, because tomorrow may not get here for some people. A person is not condemned at death. The Bible said condemned already without Christ. Not at the judgment. Well, I'll just wait and see how I come out at the judgment. I can tell you, because God has told us. Hey. See, there's condemnation. You say, well, I don't quite understand that. Well, let me give you an example that many of you can grasp. You know what it means to wait to catch the chain? That's what we're talking about. They've already had the trial. They've already pronounced the sentence. We're just getting paper ready. We're condemned already without Jesus Christ. Next question, why? Why is anybody condemned? And by the way, God says it twice in this verse. He said, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed. It's believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. It has nothing to do with baptism. It has nothing to do with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with communion. It has nothing to do with anything but you and Jesus Christ. God could not have made it any more simpler. And He did that because we're simple people. It would have had to been. We keep thinking, I used to think that, Lord, I got to be perfect. Time and again, I realized I was wrong. And I thought the way I solved that was by straightening up and doing it right. I didn't realize that Jesus Christ died for me that I might be made righteous. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, over to the right a little bit, chapter 5, if you will. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. And notice in verse 19. What he tells us here. Verse 21, not 19, verse 21, the very last verse in the chapter. He said, for he, speaking of God, hath made him, speaking of Christ, to be sin for us. You realize that when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, The reason he was there was to pay for mine and your sin. You realize he became a liar so that you and I could become honest. You realize that any sin you can think of, Jesus Christ, that's why he prayed, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to have to take all that sin. Because he was righteous and sinless. And there are people in here, we're all sinful. But there's things in our life that if we did them, it caused us to be sick to death of ourselves. And Jesus Christ took them off and said, God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, he never sinned, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus said, I'll become sin. Leland, you become righteous. Because of what he did. Not because I didn't earn it. I couldn't achieve it. But he said, I'll take yours. I'm giving you mine. It's a gift. It's a gift. See? He that believeth not. See, not because somebody's a dopehead. Not because somebody's a thief. Not because somebody's a liar. Look at two chapters over, John chapter 5 and verse 24. Here's that word condemnation again. He said, verily, verily, Jesus speaking, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I want you to bow your heads a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And you'd say, Leland, I understand that I'm condemned. Leland, I realize that it's not a bunch of stuff that I've been trying to do or not do. Not what I've done or not what I'm going to do. But I'm condemned because of my unbelief in Christ. Now let me tell you how you solve unbelief. Listen very carefully. This is very simple. You don't need a GED to get this. The way you solve unbelief is you believe. Just believe. Tonight I'm going to ask you to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And turn your heart, your life, and your mind, and your soul over to him. So I'll bow at your feet. I'm going to ask you to do that. We're going to pray just in a moment. And then I'm going to give you that opportunity. You're here tonight. You say, Leland, pray for me. I'm lost. I need to be saved. Would you slip your hand up real quick? Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Nobody looking around. God bless you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Real quickly. Anyone else? I've never been saved. You know that you know that you know. If you left here tonight, was hit by an 18-wheeler, that you're going straight to heaven. Pray for me. Now then, let me say this. There's some Christians here tonight. Yes, you have been saved. But your life doesn't show it. You remember he's the avenger? He'll discipline you because he loves you. If he doesn't discipline you, let me tell you this. Then the Bible is very explicit about that. He says you're a little gentleman child. You be the devil's kid. He waits to eternity for the devil's kids to be punished. For you and I, he'll give us a little spanking right here. When we stand just in a moment, I want you to come out on the very first verse that Doug says. Said, I'm tired of being sick and tired. And I want to get it right with God. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for those that not lifted their hand. We pray for those that are here that need to lift their hand. We pray, Father, for those that are your children and have wandered far away. Father, we pray tonight they'd come home. So, Father, bless this invitation. Glorify your Son. And for the unbelievers, help them to believe right now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed, and Brother Doug sang, come on. Just as I am, without one plea. Come on. You need to be saved? You come on. You need to get right with God? You come on. Come on, huh? Come right on. Yes, ma'am. We got somebody to talk to right here. Come on, do whatever God wants you to do. Come right now. There'll be somebody here that can go over this with you, can show you in the Bible exactly. This is no guesswork. Come on. Just as I am. Don't wait any longer. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Come on. Come on. Heads still bowed and our eyes still closed, and there's some praying here at the front, but with just the music, no words, as the pianist plays, are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you satisfied with your walk with Him? If not, would you come? Let us pray with you. Let us help you. As we play one more verse, come on. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the one that came. Father, thank you for those that are here. Thank you for those that were honest enough with us to admit their situation. Now, Father, I don't know if I'll ask this or not, but I pray you'd give those that didn't do what they were supposed to do another day, another chance to do it. Father, we'd just be... Father, I don't know how to explain it. If we just didn't keep harping on this message to try to get people to heaven. Father, if we fed them, if we provided them with transportation and education and clothed them and all of those things that we want out here in this world and didn't give them the opportunity to go to heaven, we'd be the sorriest people alive. So, Father, help them to give some thought to that decision, heaven or hell, condemnation, your love. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.